Hello, and welcome to Simple Man Sermons, the preachings of a simple man called by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is going to be entitled, We Serve a Strange God. And the reason for the sermon is that it's not God's will for any of us to walk through life afraid of things, afraid of people, afraid of things on this earth. So many times, 365 times in the Bible, actually, it says, do not be afraid. And I think today in society, probably not too unique to today, but anytime in a society of people, people are worried about being strange. And if you're worried about that, I just want to remind you that the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, and the God whom we serve, there are examples of how we should walk on this earth. Now, do a little thought experiment with me in your mind, if you would. Imagine that you're sitting in your car at an intersection or in a coffee shop looking out the window, and you see a man dressed about like everybody else is dressed in society, whatever that is for where you're at. If you're in Idaho, maybe a guy in jeans and a camo jacket. If you're in, you know, downtown Manhattan, maybe, you know, slacks and loafers and a business suit, whatever that is, whatever would fit in, the average person would wear. Think of a man like that walking down the street, and he walks past a homeless blind guy on the sidewalk or on the, you know, in an alley somewhere, and he looks at the guy and then looks down and then spits on the ground, rubs it around, makes some mud, makes some clay, and rubs it in the guy's eye. What would you think if that happened? What would you do if you were walking with one of your friends and your friend did that to somebody? Would you think, man, that's strange? Now, if you know the story, you know where I'm going with this. But if you don't, would you say there's no way that God would want me to do something like that? There's no way, you know, that's right or normal. Well, let me read you a story if you're not familiar with it. This is from John chapter 9. And Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva, and anointing the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I won't read the whole story because it goes on for almost a full page, but the man receives his sight and goes to the Pharisees and tells everybody and becomes an evangelist for Jesus. And he said, and Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of God? And the man answered him and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you now. And then he said, Lord, I believe, and worshipped him. Now that's a strange story, but that's in the Bible. That's what Jesus did. That's what he said, and that's what he did. Now picture this scenario in your head. Picture that, I speak from a man's perspective because I'm a man, but you can reverse it if you're a woman. You know, you're single and you've been waiting a long time for that wife, that person that God wants you to marry. You have all these thoughts in your head and you envision who this person's going to be and what they're going to be like and all these things. And you're praying to God. And God tells you, go find a prostitute and marry a prostitute. Not because she's going to love you so much and going to change her ways and just love you only and be faithful. God says, no, I'm telling you to go marry this prostitute because she's going to cheat on you and you're going to know what it's like to love somebody that doesn't care about you and cheats on you and goes astray. And no matter what you do for them, they don't appreciate it and they wander off into harlotry again and again and again. And I'm calling you to forgive that person. I'm calling you to know what it feels like. Just to know what it feels like to be cheated on and taken advantage of and taken for granted. Imagine that. Well, if you know the story, you know that's what God does. Hosea chapter 1. And the Lord began to speak to Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take for yourself a wife of harlotry and a children of harlotry. For the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. Now that's strange. I mean, that's a tough thing to think about, to think that God called that man to marry a prostitute knowing that she was going to cheat on him just so he would understand that a lesson that God was trying to teach. But that's a hard way to learn it. But that's exactly what God did. He called him to take a prostitute as a wife. and knowing that she was going to remain a prostitute. And that's a strange thing. Now, put yourself in these shoes, or rather, lack thereof shoes. Imagine you're called by God to share His message. And you think, oh, how great, how wonderful, how amazing. You know, God's using me as a prophet. And God's revealing Himself to you. How great that is to have God speaking directly to you. And imagine God says, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to go downtown in the city where you live and strip down completely naked and walk around downtown for 3 years spreading my message. Imagine how tough a pill that will be to swallow. I pray that if God told me that I have the courage to do it if I got a direct revelation from that. But that's a strange thing. Like, God did that. God, that's recorded. That's in the book of Isaiah. And the Lord said, just as my servant Isaiah walked naked and barefoot 3 years as a sign and a wanderer against Egypt and Ethiopia. He tells Isaiah to walk naked through the street to spread his message for 3 years. Imagine that. I can't think of much stranger things than that. And just a quick aside, I'd encourage you to read the book of Isaiah. It's one of the great books. All the books in the Bible are great, but Isaiah is kind of a microcosm of the Bible. And if you have any doubts about Jesus being real, read the book of Isaiah and cross-check it with, you know, what we know in archaeology. Because we know that it was written down before Jesus was born, and it talks about Jesus in the book of Isaiah. Surely, this is Isaiah chapter 53, surely He was born for our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet He esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastising for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him, and to put him to grief. When you make His soul an offering for sin. Now we could go on and on. I'll give you a few more, but if that doesn't prove the point of God calling us to strange things and do strange things and acting in strange ways, I don't know what does. If you listen to the last Simple Man sermon, you recall the story of Gideon. And he's going to war, and he has several thousand, you know, tens of thousands of men, over 10,000 men he has. And God said, no, that's too many. I want people to see that it's the Lord doing it. So take your army and send most of them home. Send like 90% of the army home, and then take a bunch of the other men to the streams and see who laps and drinks like a dog. And whoever laps and drinks like a dog, we'll take a couple hundred of them and go against an enemy far more numerous than you. I mean, that's strange, right? I think that illustrates the point fairly. So why am I telling you this? Obviously, we've illustrated the point that God is strange. He calls us to strange things. If you didn't know the word holy in the original language in Hebrew, kadosh, holy means to be set apart, to be different, to be special. That's what it means. A lot of Christians today, I think, have a weird view of a lot of words that are used. They don't really know what they mean, and what people think they mean isn't really what they originally meant. Like, holy means set apart, to be strange, to be different, to be out of the ordinary, literally is what the word holy means. The God says, be holy, for I am holy. That's scripture, be holy, for I am holy. Be set apart, for I am set apart. By very definition, you cannot be set apart, you cannot be unique if you are like everything around you. If you look at the Old Testament, if you read the book of Leviticus, there are so many rules and laws in there, and it's God says, be holy, be set apart, for I am holy. He, you know, He tells His people, don't wear a garment made of wool and linen. Don't wear a garment made of two different things. You know, don't be like the people around you. Don't eat these animals. Don't eat pigs. Don't eat certain animals in the sea. Don't eat certain animals of the air. Be set apart. Be different. Be not like the people around you. Be different. Be unique. Now follow with me here as I'm illustrating. Now it says many times in the Bible that God knew you and knew who you were and knew who you were going to be before you were even born. It says that many different places, but probably the most famous is Psalms 139. Psalms 139 verse 13. For you formed my innerward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will prepare you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's go back to Genesis. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. In his own image, after his own likeness, he created man and woman. God made you in his very own image. And if God is strange, you should not worry or be afraid of being strange. That's kind of the culmination of the sermon today, the underlying point of it. You are made in the very image of God. He formed you together in your mother's womb. I'd like to read for you 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Royal, a holy nation. And what do we say holy meant? Holy means set apart. His own special people. By very definition, you can't be special if you're like everybody else. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah, even though it says it many, many times in the Bible. Right here in chapter 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. Deuteronomy chapter 28. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. Again, let me read that if I broke the word down into plain English. The Lord will establish you as a set apart, a peculiar people to himself. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, not the world's ways, in God's ways. And God's ways sometimes are strange. Then all the people of the earth shall see you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. This is one or two chapters ahead, Deuteronomy 31. And the Lord your God, he is the one who goes before you, and he will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. What's being driven home here is that be who God's calling you to be, whoever that is. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. Don't worry about trying to be like everybody else. Don't fear. Don't be afraid if you're different. Be who God's calling you to be. Now, I don't want this to be taken out of context. I'm not talking about people that artificially go out of their way to be weird, who, you know, do things for the sake of being strange. Don't make yourself weird just for the sake of being weird. That's also not being who God has called you to be. What I'm saying is be who God's called you to be, whoever that is. But don't worry about being strange, being holy, being set apart. I'm not saying to go around and you know, a lot of teenagers, you know, I guess it's not fair to say teenagers, but they do it probably the most, dress up in gothic attire or, you know, get crazy hairstyles with crazy colors. And this is artificially trying to be set apart. This is not what we're talking about here. Don't make yourself, you know, don't make yourself a victim for no reason. Don't make yourself strange. Be who God called you to be. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows your innermost parts. If you're trying to figure out who God's calling you to be, you know, welcome to life. That's a lifelong pursuit. That's something we all deal with. And I would say, read your Bible and pray. I would say God calls us to strange things sometimes. I would say, I'm definitely no stranger to that. But I would always say, check what you think with what the Word of God says. God does not contradict himself. If you think God's calling you to adultery, I don't know what your situation is, but he's not. Thou shalt not commit adultery is pretty clear. He doesn't want you to go be with another man's wife. That's clear. That's not something he's calling you to. Thou shalt not murder. That's not something he's calling you to. But don't worry. Don't be afraid of people thinking that you're odd for following God, for following the footsteps of Christ. When somebody wrongs you, the rest of the world will be like, oh, seek revenge on that person. Be happy when they fall, when they stumble. The person that's wronged you, you know, look to get back at them. But you're called to be special. You're called to be holy. When somebody wrongs you, you're called to forgive. It's a commandment. Forgive so that you are forgiven. You've already been forgiven by God. Who are you to hold anything against anybody else? Be different. Don't seek revenge like the rest of the world. Forgive. You are forgiven. Be holy. Be different. Be set apart. Jesus says, even the pagans love people that love them. But you're called to love everybody, the people that spitefully use you. Even when you know they're using you. Even when you know they're trying to harm you. You're still called to love them. Be peculiar. Be set apart. Be different. Don't be afraid to pray bold prayers to be different. I'll read you here Mark chapter 11. Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says that this mountain be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Have peculiar, holy faith set apart. When the rest of the world is looking around and saying, you know, it's so hard to do this, it's so hard to do that. Have faith. If you believe God's calling you to do something, pray for it and believe that you'll receive it. Be different. Be holy. Be set apart. Now, Simple Man Sermons is not about me. It's about God. But he uses me, and I'll share some things. Anybody that knows me in real life would know that I'm kind of a strange person sometimes. You know, I'm not afraid to get down on my knee and pray in front of people. I'm not afraid to pray for somebody. I'm not perfectly without fear, obviously. We all struggle with that, no matter who we are. But don't be afraid to be strange is what I'm saying. If God's calling you to pray at a certain time or a certain place, do it. God doesn't call everybody to the same things, obviously. If you look at Jesus drank. He turned water into wine. That was his first miracle. He was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard. Jesus drank. But God very clearly told John the Baptist that he should not drink, and he told Samson that he should not drink. God calls different people to different things. If you think God's calling you to abstain from certain foods, then abstain from them. God does that. He does that several times in the Bible. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The first of all the commandments. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. He's the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be led by what a certain group of people is calling you to do. Try and be led by what God's calling you to do. Obviously, God called some people to drink, and he called others not to. What is God calling you to do? One of the major criticisms of Jesus by the Pharisees, by the scribes in his time, who were trying to put him to death, was that he was not acting in the way they thought that he should act. He was not acting in the way the culture was at the time. And they thought that because he wasn't acting like them, that he was possessed by the devil. He got accused of, you know, having demons, Jesus did. He got accused of that by the Pharisees and the scribes and all those people. And obviously that wasn't true, but the reason they did that is because he was acting different. He made the blind see and he healed people on the Sabbath day. Now, there's nothing against that in the Old Testament. It says, do no servile work on the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Keep it set apart. Now, what's more special to do on a day than to make a man who was born blind see? But the Pharisees were the ones that were actually blind, not the blind man, because they couldn't see the truth of Jesus. He wasn't acting in societal norms. He was doing what God called him to do. He was doing the right thing. God says, I always do what God has sent me here to do. When they brought the woman caught in adultery before Jesus, the customary thing of the time was to kill that woman. That was the normal thing to do when you caught somebody in adultery. You stoned them to death. That was the thing that was done. Jesus says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And then he goes further to tell the woman, when all the men who were going to kill her, they knew that they were also guilty. What does Jesus do? When they all leave, he goes to the woman and says, where are those who have accused you? And then Jesus, the only man who can forgive sin, said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That was different. That was special. That was holy. That was set apart. And what are we called? We're called to be like Jesus. As he is, so are we in this world, the Bible says. So do not be afraid of being who God's called you to be. 1 Peter 1:16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be set apart, for I am set apart. Be who God's calling you to be, and be happy and without fear. Thank you, and have a blessed day.